Welcome to the final week of the regular season. We're here. What's up, everybody? Adam Pfeiffer. Hopefully everybody had a great holiday last week, but it's time to buckle down and get ready to make the fantasy playoffs. In most leagues, this is the final week of the regular season. All comes down to this. I'm in some leagues where I need to win to get into the playoffs. Doesn't help when we have six teams on bye. We'll talk about every single game that we do have here in week 14 today on the Game by Game episode of the podcast. Of course, be sure to check out ftnfantasy.com for all of your content needs, tools, rankings, projections, cheat sheets, articles, other podcasts, and of course, the amazing data we have always discussed on this podcast each and every week. Check it out, ftnfantasy.com. Got hoop stuff coming as well. Exciting time. Let's kick it off, though. Thursday night football, one of the most anticipated games of the week pretty easily, but maybe of the year. Green Bay at Detroit. Massive game here. It's going to be a fun one. Let's start with the Lions, who are the easier team, right? You're starting both running backs. You're starting Amon-Ra St. Brown. But Sam Laporta is kind of interesting here because he's been a definite disappointment this season. Is coming off a game on Thanksgiving where he scored twice. And now he's got a good matchup against the Packers, who are allowing the eighth most fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends at 14.3 per game. Just allowed 10 catches for 114 yards to Jonnu Smith last week. So I'm pretty comfortable going back to Sam Laporta. He was probably on a decent amount of benches, honestly, last week. But this is a matchup to continue to go to him at home, which is also where you feel better about starting Jared Goff. Green Bay has been this defense where they don't allow a ton of explosive passing plays, but they will give you the short stuff. Still missing some players on that defense, including Jair Alexander, who just hasn't played in a little bit now. So Goff, especially with six teams on a bye, right? We have, you know, no Lamar, missing a lot of players. Goff is a top 12 quarterback pretty easily. And you're starting both running backs, of course. It's interesting. I think Jahmyr Gibbs only has one more catch than David Montgomery this season, which I don't think anybody would have expected. But, you know, they'll alternate drives like they always do. They'll both be efficient like they always are. And Montgomery, outside of really last week, probably scores like he always does. And, of course, St. Brown, you're starting. And Jameson Williams is still a boom-bust, high-end wide receiver three. They're getting him a little bit more of the scheme stuff lately since their bye week. A lot more of these like end arounds. He's getting like a carry or two per game. He's getting like six targets per game. So, and the matchup's obviously better without Alexander on the outside. Let's go to Green Bay though. I want to start with Jaden Reed, who the volume is still very, very middling, but he's been so efficient on a per target basis that it hasn't really mattered. That continued last week where he scored two touchdowns. Good matchup for Amir. He's playing in the slot around 63% of the time this season, which is where the Lions really struggle. We saw Keenan Allen last week, five catches, 73 yards, and two touchdowns out of the slot. This season, the Lions are allowing 8.2 yards per target, which is eighth worst, 12.1 yards per reception, which is 10th worst, 12.4 targets per game, the most in the NFL, two pass catchers in the slot. He also had 113 yards when these teams first met earlier this season. Amik Robertson, who's been their slot DB, not great. I think he's bottom 10 in the wide receiver cornerback matchup chart in terms of average yards allowed per coverage snap, so it's a good spot for Jaden Reed. Romeo Doubs will be out again, so Christian Watson, a little bit lower than Jameson Williams, but still in that same kind of mold as a boom-bust wide receiver three. He does see a 12% bump in target rate against man coverage this season. And the Lions, we know, with Aaron Glenn calling the shots, mostly play man coverage. He's also sixth in the NFL in air yards per out run at 3.6, and second in ADOT. So there's definite upside there. The Lions do allow a decent amount of, I think they allow the most air yards per game, actually, in the NFL. So that helps for a player like Christian Watson. And then Tucker Kraft. He had a really solid game. He leads a team this season with four touchdowns against single high, and the Lions are eighth in the NFL in use of single high. So good spot for Tucker Kraft. Both these guys are pretty much top 10 tight ends for me. And finally, you're starting Josh Jacobs, who's been awesome. 9 goal line carries for Jacobs since week 8, second most in the NFL. He has 7 touchdowns in that span and 100-plus scrimmage yards in 5 straight contests. Lions run defense, typically really good, but they're really shorthanded on the D-line in this game. DJ Reader, in particular, is out. And even dating back to when he was on the Bengals, like defenses, the run defense splits with him on and off the field are pretty jarring. So much better spot than normal, I would say, for Josh Jacobs. And Jordan Love is obviously a start at quarterback as well. He could be aggressive in this game with how much single high the Lions run. And Jordan Love is top 10 in yards per pass attempt and touchdown passes against single high. Moving on, Carolina at Philadelphia. Now, I want to start with the Panthers. And I want to start with Bryce Young, because he's not posting these like consistent top 5, top 8 fantasy weeks at quarterback, but he has been so improved. Like weeks 1 through 7, obviously, I just put 1 through 7, but he only played, you know, 3 of those games or whatever it was. But during that span, he had a 62.3% accuracy percentage, just one highlight throw, minus 0.38 EPA per dropback, and a 6.2% turnover-worthy throw rate. Weeks 8 through 13, however, the accuracy rate climbed to 72.7%. He has 5 highlight throws in that span. His EPA per dropback is above positive, and his turnover-worthy throw rate dropped from 6.2% to 1.2%. And keep in mind, he is doing this while having the third highest tight coverage rate in the NFL at 36.1%. He's dropping passes into buckets. His pocket awareness is much better. He's making plays on the run. He looks great. Having said that, I don't know how comfortable you are starting him last week of the fantasy regular season against the hottest defense in the NFL, but you definitely feel better about him than you have. Just definitely wanted to give Bryce Young some love there. Staying with the passing game, Adam Thielen, he had a 27.6% first read target share last week. He's been pretty good since coming back from his injury. He's clearly the wide receiver one for this team. He's a flex play in PPR formats. We know he can get you a lot of these like 8 for 60 games, and in PPR formats, we'll take that every day of the week. But again, this Eagles defense has been, since week 6, they've been just insanely good. Top 5 in pressure rate, top 5 in pass and touchdown percentage, top 5 in EPA per drop, everything. They've been amazing. Chuba Hubbard is interesting here, though. In the past, not even in the past, pretty much all year, he's been a must-start running back, getting as much volume as anybody in the NFL. And we've seen Jonathan Brooks, the rookie, active the last 2 games the first time all year. The first week, Chuba Hubbard still played 89% of snaps, handled all the rushing attempts, essentially. Last week, it drops to 79%. During that span, those 2 weeks, he's at about 66.7% of the rushing attempts, which is still high, but he was getting like 80% for a while. But Jonathan Brooks comes off a season-high 21% snap share last week, saw both goal line snaps and 3 targets out of the backfield. And for maybe it means nothing, but Chuba had that back-breaking fumble in overtime last week. And this is this point where it's like the Panthers season's obviously over. They're not competing for anything. He has 2 weeks under his belt. This seems like the time to get Jonathan Brooks going a little bit. So I'm not saying start Jonathan Brooks, but I'm also not saying that Chuba Hubbard is a must-start player. I actually have him pretty low in my rankings, if I remember correctly. Like, if you picked up Isaac Arendo, I would start him over Chuba Hubbard this week. I would start, trying to think of some good examples here on the fly. I have to go back and look. I think I have Chuba like outside my top 24 running backs. So I would probably try to avoid him if possible, but I understand if you can, especially with 6 teams on a bye. That's pretty much it from Carolina for me. Like, Tommy Tremble got a lot of volume last week in a game they threw a lot. Maybe that could happen again. Tampa Bay's defense is not Philadelphia's defense. For the Eagles, it's pretty easy. This is a massive spot for Saquon Barkley. 8 touchdowns of 10-plus yards this season. 13% explosive rush rate. Now he gets Carolina, who allow the highest rushing success rate in the NFL at 48%. They're allowing 35% more fantasy production per game than the average team. So, smash spot for Saquon. A.J. Brown, obviously must-start player. The touchdowns haven't quite been there, but he crushed a single high, and this has been a trend for years. But this season, 3.8 yards per out run, which is third best. 0.78 EPA per target, which is ninth best. With 3 touchdowns, 4.5 targets per game, and 3.8 air yards per out run against single high. The Panthers, 56.3% of the time they're using single high. That's the fourth highest rate in football. So, obviously, we're starting him. And Devonta Smith should be back, practicing in full. Dallas Goedert probably sits this game out, I think. And Smitty has always been better when one of Goddard or A.J. Brown have been sidelined. Since 2023, Devonta Smith averaging 4 more PPR points per game with Goddard out of the lineup. And of course, you're starting Jalen Hurts. Moving on to Atlanta at Minnesota, the Kirk Cousins revenge game. Justin Jefferson, you're starting him, obviously. Weird that he hasn't scored a touchdown in 6 consecutive games, but he's still leads the NFL in 20-plus yard catches. He only has 6 targets inside the 10 this season. A lot of those targets actually going to Aaron Jones when they get down there for whatever reason. But Jefferson is going to start scoring eventually, and obviously you aren't benching him. I looked at the first read target share for these receivers since week 9. Jefferson's at 31.2%, but Jordan Addison's not that far behind at 26%. So Addison in that kind of Jameson Williams range for me. Hockenson, the snaps continue to be in that mid to low 60s. He's been a little bit volatile, but you have to be pretty low to that tight end to consider benching him. And I think Darnold's fine too. Atlanta's defense is not good. They don't generate a lot of pressure. The problem Darnold's had is when teams like Arizona did last week, when teams take away the first read, it's when he starts to throw these turnover-worthy passes. So, but Atlanta's defense has done nothing to make us think this is a bad spot for Darnold. Aaron Jones has been kind of frustrating. Like, he fumbled twice last week, dropped a touchdown. He's been really inefficient at the goal line. But again, 6 teams on bye, are not benching Aaron Jones. For the Falcons, I really like the spot for both receivers, especially Darnell Mooney if he's good to go. Didn't practice Wednesday, but doesn't sound like it's anything too serious. Darnell Mooney right now, 6th in the NFL with a 28.3% target share against the blitz. We know Brian Flores is going to blitz all day long. 40.7% blitz rate for the Vikings this season, highest rate in the NFL. Vikings also allowing 29% more production to wide receivers than average. That's the highest rate in the NFL. We saw Stephon Gilmore leave last week, and the Cardinals immediately went after Fabian Moreau. So that could be Darnell Mooney's potential matchup in this game. Good spot for him. Drake London, he's been scoring the touchdowns, and his volume's been good too. 53.3% of Atlanta's targets from inside the 10 have gone to Drake London. That's the highest rate in the NFL. He's out-targeted Darnell Mooney in the red zone 19-6. So, good matchup for him as well. The question comes down to, like, which Kirk Cousins is going to show up. Because against man coverage, he has been lights out. Against zone, not so much. Vikings, they blitz, but they pull out of zone. And Mike Randall, my colleague here at FTN, was looking at the splits tool and pointed that out. But you really, if you take away those 2 Tampa Bay games for Kirk Cousins, he's been pretty bad. This ain't Tampa Bay. So I would try to avoid Kirk Cousins if possible, but I still like the receivers. And yeah, it's over once again for the 8th time, apparently, but it's over for Kyle Pitts. Played just 41% of the snaps, easily a season low for him. And he's really only playing on obvious passing downs right now. No catches last week. Like, no thanks. And obviously, you're starting Bijan, who's been absolutely insane. Since week 6, Bijan Robinson, these are his finishes among fantasy running backs. Running back 3, running back 9, running back 4, running back 9, running back 1, running back 25, and running back 2. During that span, he's averaging 22.7 touches, 85.7 rushing yards, 34 receiving yards, and 22.2 PPR points per game. He's been unbelievable. Saints at the Giants up next. This game is relatively easy. Chris Olave not quite ready to return, so we really don't have to talk about the receivers much. Outside of MVS, who has now scored 4 long touchdowns over the past 3 games, he's running all the routes. One of these days, he's going to have 2 catches for 27 yards. But he's producing. And now Taysom Hill's out. It's one less player they can get 10 touches to. So he's a very volatile, but also still viable flex. Speaking of the Taysom Hill injury, he's out for the season on a team that's already been depleted at backup running back, which is why Taysom was getting like 10 opportunities per game. He's handled nearly 22% of the Saints' carries from inside the 10 this season. So his absence, on top of the Saints' offensive line getting healthier and the Giants losing Dexter Lawrence, makes this an awesome spot for Alvin Kamara. Kamara, like, he's probably going to smash here. The Giants this season allowing 2.4 yards before contact per attempt, 4th worst, 2.7 yards after contact per attempt, 2nd most, and a 15.2% explosive rush rate, which is the 2nd worst rate against the run this season, and that's with Dexter Lawrence, and now he's gone. So, great spot for Kamara. And that's pretty much it for the Saints. I'm not really trying to gamble on, you know, Foster Moreau or Juwan Johnson. If I had to choose, it would be Juwan Johnson, just because this team doesn't really have anybody that can get targets at the goal line. So it would be Juwan Johnson if I had to take a chance on one of those two. For the Giants, last saw them on Thanksgiving, where Devin Singletary drew the quote-unquote start. It comes one game after Tyrann Tracy fumbled again, but didn't really lead to much. He only played 21% of the snaps. Tracy was at 73%. Tracy played all but one snap in the two-minute drill where they were behind, so maybe that had a little bit to do with it. And the overall carries, again, they were playing from behind, but Tracy had 9 carries. Singletary still had 7. So it's fair to wonder if Tracy is this, like, locked-in RB2 in fantasy with it's a complete stranglehold on the job. But if he is, I mean, we've seen what lead running backs have done against the Saints. I mean, it's a really bad run defense. They are bottom 5 in yards after contact allowed per attempt. Like, the lead running backs since pretty much like week 4 are averaging right around 20 fantasy points per game against the Saints. Happened again last week where Kyren Williams had over 100 yards and a touchdown. Even Blake Corum was efficient when he got the football, so it's a good matchup for Tracy. Just maybe he's not getting all of the work like he was a couple weeks ago. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, more games here in week number 14. You need that win to get into the playoffs. You need it. Otherwise, you're going home, and your fantasy dreams go home with you. Luckily, we'll help you out breaking down the rest of these games here in week 14 on For the Numbers. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, Vegas at Tampa Bay. We have to talk about the new RB1 in Tampa, Bucky Irving. He's been awesome, and his schedule to end the season is amazing. So if you made the playoffs and Bucky has emerged as your RB2 or even flex, you're feeling pretty good right now. Because last week, the rookie coming off season highs in percentage of carries at 64.1%, overall carries, which is a career high, obviously, at 25%, and snapshare at 54%. Since week 7, Bucky Irving, 18.5 PPR points per game, which is RB7, 3.7 yards after contact per attempt, which is first, 9.3% juke rate, which is first, and he's averaging just under 17 touches per game. Rashad White during that span, 12.3 touches per game, 54.6% of the snaps, but Bucky's averaging 4.2 targets per game during that span. Rashad White's at 4, so it's not like Rashad White's getting all this elite pass game volume and Bucky's getting none of it. So Bucky, must start player. He's a little bit banged up, but he says he'll be fine, so you're starting him. Same thing with Mike Evans. Didn't practice Wednesday with, they called it calf and hamstring. I'm assuming it's just, you know, a vet rest day. I'm hoping so, at least. Evans was great last week, and over the past 2 weeks since he's come back from his hamstring, 27.6% target share, and he has over 50% of the first read targets for the Bucks. Baker continues to just get it done. It really doesn't matter if Evans is there, if Godwin's there, if both are out. He's still been really productive. Rader is not a matchup we fear. He's a top 10 quarterback for me. And Kate Otten's a borderline top 12 tight end. Not the same usage we saw, obviously, when Evans was out, but still enough to warrant that status. For the Raiders, a pretty easy team. Brock Bowers is insane. Fourth in the entire NFL among all players in receiving yards. He is on pace to set the record for most receptions in a season by a rookie. Not just rookie tight end, but by a rookie pass catcher ever. 21% target share against the blitz. You're starting him, obviously. 23.8% target share against the blitz for Jacoby Myers. We know Tampa Bay is going to blitz at a top five rate with Todd Bowles. And after a solid game last week, Myers now averaging 9.9 targets, 6.4 catches, 74 receiving yards, and 15 fantasy points per game. And I believe it's 7 games without Davante Adams this season. He's done it with multiple different quarterbacks. Tampa Bay's defense is one we really want to attack via the pass. Myers is a borderline must-start player. You're obviously starting Brock Bowers. And I don't hate Aiden O'Connell in a 2QB league. He looked really good against the Chiefs. He played awesome. So, and as for the backfield, I would like to avoid it if possible. Sincere McCormick got way more involved. I think it was like 11, 12 carries last week. And he was pretty productive against an elite Chiefs run defense. But I think we could see Madison return. He was limited in practice. And if he does return, it becomes a pretty easy avoid altogether. All right, this is my favorite game of the week for fantasy. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. And of course, any game with Jameis after what we saw on Monday has to be the top game for fantasy. What he's doing is just, I mean, think about it. Judy goes for over 200 yards. Njoku has 2 touchdowns. Elijah Moore has over 100 yards. Jameis himself has 440 passing yards and 4 touchdowns. And yet, he's still able to get the Broncos an elite fantasy scoring defense because of the 2 pick sixes. No quarterback in the history of football has looked out for fantasy football more than Jameis Winston, and we appreciate it. But in this spot at Pittsburgh, not a great matchup, obviously, for Jameis, who's a borderline streamer based off volume, but you got to start all of these pass catchers. I mean, Judy's a must-start player, absolute must-start player. He's now averaging 9.8 targets, 6.6 catches, 122.8 receiving yards, and 21.3 PPR points per game since Jameis made his first start back in week 8. And during that same span, Judy, Elijah Moore, and Cedric Tillman have all been top 36 fantasy wide receivers. Tillman still dealing with a concussion. If he doesn't play, Elijah Moore is a great play. Still think he's viable regardless, but you would feel better about him getting 7 to 10 targets pretty easily. That's the other thing too. Like, when these guys have all been active, they pretty much have all gotten 8 plus targets a game. It's been perfect. So, we'll see on Tillman, but Judy, must-start player. Elijah Moore, a really good start if Tillman's out again. And Njoku, a must-start tight end. The only thing is, I still, when these teams played a couple weeks ago, I did not like Chubb at all. He got 2 short yardage touchdowns, but otherwise he was terrible. It was like 20-plus carries for like 60 yards. Once again, wasn't involved in the passing game. Did catch a touchdown pass last week, but there was a stretch where he was out for like 4 straight drives. And we saw a lot of Jerome Ford. So, I don't want to start Chubb this week. I'll just put it that way. If I have no other options, like I'm not picking up somebody off the waiver wire unless it's Isaac Grendo to start over Chubb, but I'm not enthusiastic about starting him. For the Steelers, how about the game they put together last week, scoring at will against the Bengals? Russell Wilson had an awesome game, and I think he could be good again this week. We know Russ, since joining Pittsburgh, but since joining the NFL, has been a quarterback that wants to throw the ball down the field, down the sideline, vertically. And that's been the same here in Pittsburgh. 15% of Russell Wilson's passes have traveled 20-plus air yards. It's one of the highest rates in the NFL. 4 such touchdown passes since becoming the starter. That's the third most in the NFL. And against single high this season, Russell Wilson, 9.2 yards per attempt, which is 5th. 6 touchdown passes, which is also 5th. 170.8 passing yards per game, which is the most in the NFL against single high. And he's 10th in EPA per dropback and 2nd in highlight throw rate, 7.2%. That's all against single high. The Browns, just over 65% of the time they're using single high, second highest rate in football. Then you have the fact that they're allowing 24 completions of 20-plus air yards, third most in the NFL, and 18.8% of the passes against the Cleveland Browns this season have gained 20-plus air yards, most in the NFL. So it's a really good spot for Wilson. And with that being said, of course, it's a great spot for George Pickens as well. Pickens against single high this season, 2.9 yards per out run, which is 11th, 559 receiving yards, which is 6th, and a 26.2% target share. And he just continues to be really, really good with Russell Wilson at quarterback. 81 receiving yards and 16 fantasy points per game alongside Russell Wilson. He has at least 70 receiving yards in 5 of his last 6 games. So you're starting him. We'll keep an eye on Calvin Austin. He's dealing with a concussion. Pat Freiermuth is fine. There have been a lot of games with Russ, though, where Darnell Washington's actually been the lead target at tight end. But Freiermuth coming off a good game. He's a high-end tight end, too, for me. And then the backfield, Najee Harris, pretty much a must-start player, especially with all these teams off. Weird game, though. Like, Harris was dominating early in the game, had a bunch of catches, and then, like, caught a swing pass and was, like, immediately, like, almost, like, jogging. And he's hunched over on the sideline getting looked at. I think he missed a couple plays, came back in. But, like, Jalen Warren, I don't think, played a snap till like, the second quarter, which was really weird. Believe this, the snap share was, like, a season low for him. I don't know if that's sustainable, but we know Harris is still the lead running back. And we know Cleveland's run defense without Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah has not been the same. I believe it's been since week 9 where JOK's been out. Then that's banned Cleveland. 4.8 yards per carry allowed, which is 5th worst. 8 rushing touchdowns allowed, which is 3rd most. 29.7% avoided tackle rate, 2nd worst. They're having trouble tackling without JOK. And a 14.4% explosive rush rate. So definitely like the spot for Najee Harris. Jacksonville at Tennessee. Tajay Spears for the Titans returned last week from his concussion, but he was limited. Very much so. Despite Spears returning, and despite the fact that this game was 28-0 early, Tony Pollard, if you told me that was the game script we were getting, I probably would have told you Pollard played like 53% of the snaps. But he played 73% of the snaps, 6 of 8 third downs, and he basically split 2-minute drill snaps with Spears and out-touched him 12-1. So it was interesting. Like, concussions, usually, like, once you're cleared, you're good to go. You're like, these guys are usually full strength the week after they suffer a concussion. But Spears wasn't in that role he was when healthy. I wonder if that's just a one-week thing. But if that's how it's going to go the rest of the season, Pollard's going to become a lot more game script proof and a lot more consistent and reliable for fantasy. And this matchup's obviously great. Jacksonville allowing the 2nd most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. So it's something to keep an eye on in terms of the snaps and playing time this week for Tennessee. Calvin Ridley, he's been mostly pretty damn good lately. Dud last week, but still first in the NFL with 120 air yards per game. 3rd in air yards per route run at 3.9. I'm still, like, this is a revenge game if you care about that for Calvin Ridley. Will Levis is still taking plenty of shots down the field. The overall, you know, percentage of air yards is like 40%. First read targets is like 35 to 40% since week 6, and it's even been higher if you account for when Hopkins left. So I still like Ridley a lot here. Good matchup. And then what are we going to do with Westbrook Akine? I mean, he just won't stop scoring touchdowns. 8 touchdowns on 20 receptions this season. Since week 6, he has the 7th most end zone targets in the NFL with 7. So it's not like he's just getting, you know, MVS type usage. Like, a lot of his touchdowns are pretty long, but like, it's not like he's getting all of his touchdowns are coming 30 plus yards out. Like, he's top 7 in end zone targets over the past, what, 6 weeks? And it's also not like he's like running 50, 60, 70% of the routes. He's running like 80 to 90% of the routes. So, like, obviously the touchdown rate is not sustainable to this extent. But I also wouldn't say, especially against, you know, with a home matchup against Jacksonville, that he's like a trap if you play him, especially with six teams on a bye. Just know, like, he's not seeing elite target volume. So if these touchdowns finally come down, you could be looking at like 3 for 40. But if you've been chasing him these past couple weeks, I don't think a matchup against Jacksonville will force you to stop. I think Will Levis is a viable streaming option too. Again, Lamar Jackson on a bye. A lot of these quarterbacks need to be replaced. And, I mean, Levis is giving you a little bit of that, you know, boom bust. Sometimes he'll make some great plays down the field. Other times he'll lateral the ball to nobody and the other team will recover. But Jacksonville, they've been just terrible against quarterbacks all year. So, speaking of Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence will miss this game and probably the rest of the season with his concussion. So we'll see Mac Jones, which, again, like, Brian Thomas had like 80-something yards and a touchdown last week. It could have been 200. He was underthrown on a potential deep touchdown by Trevor Lawrence early in the game that was picked off by Derek Stingley. Mac Jones missed him later in the game for another long touchdown. But he ends up with a 50-yard catch and run early in the game and then scores later in the game. He's a low-end wide receiver too for me. But Trevor Lawrence, it was throwing the ball vertical at one of the highest rates in football. So going from him to Mac Jones definitely hurts a player like Brian Thomas. But we are starting to see them get him a little bit more on these crossing routes and let him use his speed after the catch. The backfield's still pretty gross. Like, if I'm ranking them, it's Etienne over Bigsby, but Bigsby returned last week and, like, Etienne still got more of the work, especially in passing situations, but I don't feel great about starting either player. And Evan Engram is like on the tight end one, tight end two borderline. Decent volume last week. There's just no upside right now. Like, he doesn't score touchdowns ever, and now the offense is even worse probably with Mac Jones, so. Jets at Dolphins up next. Can I tell you, I despise the Jets. It has nothing to do with me being a Bills fan. It has everything to do with me having a lot of Breece Hall and a lot of Garrett Wilson this season. The Breece Hall situation, I was a little bit worried about coming into last week because they had the week off and 2 weeks later, he's still sore. He ends up limited to an extent, but for him, it's definitely limited. 62% snap share last week was a season low. He split third downs of Braylon Allen, and even Isaiah Davis got in there for 18% of the snaps. He fumbled. They continue when they get at the goal line to... They did like a shovel pass to Isaiah Davis, and they did like a jet sweep to Malachi Corley. And now he didn't practice again on Wednesday. The Jet season's over. Personally, I think it'd be easier for fantasy if Breece Hall just didn't play. Because if Breece plays, I don't think he's playing more than like 60 to 65% of the snaps, which means you don't feel as good about starting him. He tweaked the injury last week. Luckily, he was still good to go to play, but that can happen at any point. Like, I just want one running back here. And I'm pretty worried that we're starting to get to two and maybe even a third with Isaiah Davis. Now, the leagues where I have Breece Hall, I'm still starting him if he's active. We just don't have that luxury to not play him. But I don't feel great about it. We'll see. We'll see if he plays. If he doesn't play, Braylon Allen, probably like a low-end running back too. I think he'd be higher if we didn't see this Isaiah Davis emergence, especially in the passing game last week. But we'll have to wait and see. And then for Garrett Wilson. Dude, Aaron Rodgers. Just hit him when he's open. 2 weeks ago before the bye, all these in-breaking routes from Garrett Wilson where he's open, Rodgers threw behind him like three times. And then last week, double move inside the 10-yard line. Wilson leaves his defender in the dust. Gone. All Rodgers has to do is lob it over corner of the end zone. Garrett Wilson, 6 points. Proceeds to airmail it out of bounds. And then earlier in the game, a potential 75-plus yard touchdown down the sideline, Rodgers misses him. As a result, now we've seen three straight awful games from Garrett Wilson. The volume's still good. I believe it was 10 targets last week. But he has become, you know, Wilson went from wide receiver one to high-end wide receiver two when they initially traded for Adams to low-end wide receiver two at best. Davante Adams, at this point, probably a must-start player. The connection's still there with Rodgers. When they get, that's the other thing too with Wilson, like a lot of these plays are going to Adams, which you'd expect. So we'll revisit this backfield if we get any news about Breece Hall, but the Jets, they tilt me right now. For the Dolphins, Devon Achane, must start player, obviously, just keep scoring receiving touchdowns with Tua. Tyreek, you got a little bit lucky last week with that fluke touchdown catch, but probably not getting away from him. I think Sauce might miss this game too, so definitely doesn't hurt. Waddle's a boom bust wide receiver three, and Jonnu Smith, a must-start tight end, who has kind of been the first read for a lot of these plays for Miami. Screens, etc. Like, he's been their guy. And Tua's fine. Tua's like around QB 11 for me. Again, a lot of that's due to the buys, but he's not playing bad at all, so. All right, let's keep moving on. Up next, I believe that's the end of the 1 o'clock games, if I'm not mistaken. It is. Seattle at Arizona. Up next. I don't know what version of Kyler Murray we're going to get. He is like one of the most volatile quarterbacks in fantasy. He can finish as the overall QB1 or the QB21 any week. Seattle's defense has been playing much better lately. They can pressure the quarterback. Even if you have some concerns about Kyler, there's nobody on waivers you're starting over Kyler this week. Like, I'm not starting Russell Wilson or Caleb Williams or Jameis or any of these guys over Kyler. So start him. Maybe don't watch the game, but yeah. Marvin Harrison, there was a report early on Sunday that they'd be the focal point of the offense. He had like two targets at the half, something like that. Did score, but it's been all year just the inconsistent usage of Marvin Harrison. Too many times he's running vertical routes on the sideline against press man coverage. Nothing consistent in terms of crossing routes. And I get it. He's not a yak type receiver, but when he can get open as well as he can, you should utilize that. He's a low end wide receiver too for me in this spot. Seattle's a team that likes to play a lot of press man coverage, so hopefully they move him around. He can still win in those matchups, but like, don't just line him up right next to the sideline, please. Trey McBride, obviously, must start tight end. 12 catches in back-to-back games. Just elite, elite usage from him. For Seattle, this team was pretty tilting last week, too, because first and goal, Ken Walker stuffed, penalty, incomplete. They go for him fourth, get sacked. And then later in the game, I believe Walker stuffed again at the goal line. Charbonnet scores. Ken Walker's been pretty bad lately. Still catching a fair amount of passes, but he's been rough. Arizona's not a great run defense, so probably still starting him, but I'm lowering expectations to where a month ago we were looking at this guy as like a top 7 running back. The receivers, Metcalf, as long as he plays, and JSN, must-start players. JSN's just been awesome. Finally using him a little bit more creatively. He's still not playing out wide really at all. He didn't really even play out wide when Metcalf was out, but less and less we're seeing this like 4-yard ADOT from JSN, letting him do things that he can do, which is fun. And I think Geno's, again, like in that streaming territory, like, I'd rather play Russ over him. I'd rather play Caleb, who we'll talk about next, over him. Let's get to it, though. Bears at San Francisco. It's Wednesday, so I'm not really looking into it too much, but Swift, Keenan Allen, and DJ Moore didn't practice Wednesday. Allen left the game for a couple plays on Thanksgiving. He did return. I'm not worried. DJ Moore, same thing. I'm not worried. Keenan Allen's been great. I mean, when the offense, the passing game has changed to get the ball out of Caleb Williams' hands a lot faster, his average time to throw went from like 2.8 to like 2.2 since Thomas Brown took over. That's going to benefit a player who gets open in the short areas like Keenan Allen does. And we've seen it with the volume lately. So if he's good to go, high-end wide receiver 3, definitely better as a flex in full PPR leagues. It's mostly just Ben. It's been DJ Moore and it's been Keenan Allen because Rome's getting a lot of those uncatchable deep targets. He has one of the highest uncatchable air yard rates in the NFL. His unrealized air yards, one of the highest in the NFL. Now, of course, if we get to Thursday, Friday, and one of these or both these guys end up sitting, then we can have a completely different discussion about Rome Odunze. But as of right now, it's Allen and it's Moore. Swift, he's a low-end running back too if he plays. And then Caleb, like, I'm in a league where I have Lamar Jackson on bye, and I'm debating between Caleb and Russell Wilson. I've gone back and forth. Russ, unless Cleveland can push them, probably not getting 30 pass attempts from him. Caleb has been statistically a lot better since Thomas Brown took over. They're getting him out on the run more. They're calling more designed runs for him. And he's also giving you like 30 rushing yards per game since Thomas Brown took over to give you a little bit of that floor. And then San Francisco's defense, if they don't have Bosa, their pressure rate plummets without him. So I think Caleb's ceiling is probably a little bit higher than Russ's. So it really depends what you need. I do have concerns about Caleb, you know, on the road with a pretty low implied team total. It's around like 20 points. And then Russ is at home. So I just listed off a bunch of stats why I love Russell Wilson. The problem is, what happens if Jameis throws a pick six and Harris scores a rushing touchdown and you get two Boswell field goals and suddenly it's 20 to nothing? It's possible. So I'll be debating that until about Friday or Saturday if I had to guess, but I don't hate Caleb at all. Like, he was the first player I looked to when I looked ahead to this week. Just the floor has been solid. It looked like he's going to have a terrible game on Thanksgiving, and he bounces back with a huge second half. There's still plays where he looks really uncomfortable, but overall, he's looked more comfortable with Thomas Brown taking over. And whatever you think about the narrative of the first game after the head coach is fired, I don't know, but usually these teams play pretty well. San Francisco, we have a new running back in town. McCaffrey, out. Jordan Mason out, both on IR. So Isaac Arendo is averaging about 6 yards per carry, albeit limited sample size. I mean, do we think he gets the role that Jordan Mason got to start the season? That's what it comes down to. Because outside of the pass game usage, Jordan Mason's role was pretty good. Rarely came off the field. Dominated the goal line snaps, dominated the carries. Just know that they are not throwing to the running backs when McCaffrey's not there. I mean, Jordan Mason, like, his per game stats for fantasy weren't even that good based off his usage because he didn't catch the ball. And there were some stretches where he wouldn't score a touchdown. But he was a good running back. He was efficient. Limited sample. We've seen Garendo be efficient. That's just what happens in this scheme. Tell you what, I feel a lot better about it if Trent Williams is active. He needs to get back on the field for them. But still, you picked up Garendo. You spent all your fab on him or close to all of it. You're probably starting him. The Bears' run defense is the weak point of this defense, if there is one. It's definitely against the run. And yeah, just to revisit what that role from Jordan Mason looked like to start the season. Weeks 1 through 7, Jordan Mason averaged 19.7 touches. 60.4% of the rushing attempts were handled by him. It was just the fourth highest rate in football. And about 14.7 PPR points per game. You'll take that any day of the week from somebody picked up off waivers in week 14. overall, like, we just kind of have to throw that last game out for San Fran. The conditions were terrible. They got punched in the mouth. Purdy, there was times where he couldn't even grip the football. Receivers were slipping. So, Kittle, you're starting him. He'll bounce back. Juwan Jennings, I think, is still a borderline must-start receiver. The games he gets 6-plus targets, he's averaging well over 20 fantasy points per game. And Debo. Feel less good about Debo among those three, but I would say Kittle must-start, Purdy borderline start, Garendo borderline must-start, Jennings borderline must-start, and Debo a borderline wide receiver 2/3. Buffalo at the Rams up next. This is the final 4 o'clock game. And I, for one, hope the Buffalo Bills win. Injury-wise, we'll see if Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid can play in this game. Again, the Bills, in that same game last week, like, probably see more than 17 pass attempts from Josh Allen. When we've seen this team throw, it's been Khalil Shakir as the one. Top 10 in success rate, EPA per target. He's been awesome. These Rams defensive backs, I don't think, have a chance against Khalil Shakir and Amari Cooper, who, you know, practicing in full. It was a weird game. I want to see, this is the game where I think we finally see Amari Cooper like 80%+ of the routes and snaps. And when you're playing with Josh Allen, that's exciting. So I would rank Shakir over Cooper, but Shakir's like a low-end wide receiver 2, Cooper a high-end wide receiver 3, both have awesome upside. Maybe you worry a little bit more about Cooper if we see Keon Coleman come back, but I got to see him practice in full first, especially as a rookie. It's hard to see a rookie play without practicing in full yet, especially when it's a wrist, like, pretty important to catch football. Dawson Knox is a streaming option if Kincaid is once again out. Josh Allen, you should probably start him. And James Cook, must-start player. He has been awesome. 11 touchdowns, rushing touchdowns. He had less than 5 for his entire career ending the season. Just, again, the Bills with that 6 offensive lineman with Alec Anderson, the duo runs, they're so good right now. Matt Collins is blocking his ass off at wide receiver. And so are all the receivers, to be honest. But, they can run on anybody, so. For the Rams, I wrote about it last week in the Stats to Know article, but Stafford's been, on average, like the QB 8 to 12 in the games where Kupp and Puka have been healthy. Didn't have to do much last week, so it went down a little bit, but overall, we know he's been a much better fantasy quarterback when these guys are healthy. He's at home. Bills defense is really good. Matt Milano was pretty much a full-time player in his first game back, which I was surprised about. So, not a great matchup. Stafford's going to give you pretty much nothing with his legs. So that's why I have him behind like Kayla pretty easily. And I think there's a world where this game becomes, you know, 34-27 type of game. So I'm okay with Stafford. But yeah, the fact that he's got his receivers is all I really need to know. Kyren Williams, must-start player, obviously. We did see a little bit where Blake Corum was getting a lot of work early. And then it ended up still being mostly Kyren Williams by the end of the day. They do just want to keep him fresh, so there will be a drive or two where we see Blake Corum, but Kyren against his run defense, again, I believe they allow the highest explosive rush rate, 10-plus yards in the NFL. Buffalo's always been that. They either stuff you at the line of scrimmage or you go 10-plus yards on the field because they play that cover 2 shell so much. And then Puka, Kupp, both must-start wide receivers. When we come back, we will close it out with the last two games, the primetime games for Week 14, Chargers at Chiefs, Bengals at Cowboys, as we get you prepared for the fantasy playoffs, but you got to win this week to get in there, most likely. We'll break it all down, close out the podcast when we come back. Chargers at Chiefs, big AFC West matchup here in Kansas City. Chargers dealing with some injuries right now. Ladd McConkey went crazy last week against Atlanta, but he was like in and out of that game. Constantly limped off the field. He's banged up right now. Limited in practice on Wednesday to start the week, but if he plays, must-start player. He's been awesome. And really, it's been the last couple weeks where he's really, truly emerged as the clear go-to target for Justin Herbert. And, like, this is a matchup where he can kind of thrive. Because we know that Spags is going to play a lot of man coverage. But Ladd has been so good against man this season. 3.0 yards per out run against man puts him top 6 in the NFL. He's been really, really good there. Open separation rate is at 37.2% against man coverage. That's one of the highest rates in the NFL. Like, he's answered the questions to every test as a rookie. Been very impressed with him. Volume's been great. Efficiency's been great. Just need him to play, obviously. Will Disley had a goose egg last week. Again, the Chargers, it's tough with the Chargers this past week too. They ran like 46 plays, I think it was, or 36 plays. They ran the fewest plays in the NFL last week. So Gus Edwards, it's why you see his carries not looking great. But again, I have the exact, they ran 46 plays on offense, the fewest in the league. That's why Gus Edwards only had, 6 carries? But we saw Hassan Haskins, who continues to get a couple carries per game from Jim Harbaugh because of the Michigan connection. He fumbled. Edwards played 52% of snaps, but he also led the Chargers backfield in routes, which might be more important. Matchup is downright awful. Like, I don't want to start Gus Edwards, but if you're desperate, he's going to be the lead guy. But yeah, they didn't run a lot of plays. So Will Disley, who had a goose egg, I'm fine going back to him against a Chiefs team that just got destroyed by Brock Bowers. Obviously, Brock Bowers and Will Disley aren't even remotely close to the same caliber or, of player. But the Chiefs, bottom 5 in fantasy points and yards per game to tight end. So it's a good spot for Disley to bounce back. And Herbert, he's like a top 8 quarterback kind of by default. I don't love him here, especially if Ladd's not there. But there's just not a lot of quarterbacks. They're still giving him a handful of designed rushing attempts. For the Chiefs, Kelce must start. Mahomes, borderline must start, just given the bye weeks at quarterback. The backfield's obviously interesting. Pacheco makes his return. And as I expected, he was limited. I mean, he's coming off, a broken leg? Like, I don't think it's... I think it's going to take a couple weeks to where he gets back to his early season usage. This past weekend, Pacheco played 37% of the snaps. Kareem Hunt was at 38%. P. Ryan, 25%. Both were doing nothing until Pacheco ripped off like a 35-yard run. I thought he looked okay, but I don't know if we get to the 65 to 70% snap share from Pacheco, maybe until the playoffs. So against a really tough Chargers defense, I struggle with Pacheco because there are all these teams on bye and we do have players injured at running back. Like, he's definitely not a must-start player yet, but I would expect him to be closer to like 45% of snaps at least this week. So really comes down to who you have on your bench and maybe your risk tolerance or just the confidence you might. Like, if we get some sort of word from Andy Reid throughout the week that Pacheco will be full go, and I know we saw something along the lines of that last week, but if Andy Reid tells me, like, hey, he's good to go, he's going to get the majority of the work, yeah, start him. But I don't know if we're going to get that type of word. Then for the receivers, I mean, Hopkins, like, they're all, like, Hopkins is a, he's in that, like, Amari Cooper range for me, probably a little bit higher, but just in that range. Worthy's, I mean, if you don't watch the game, you feel like Worthy misses out on an explosive play by 2 yards or a foot out of bounds every single week, but they're trying to get a little bit more creative and get him more scheme touches each week. Still a boom bust flex, wide receiver 3, and Hopkins like a low end wide receiver 2, high end wide receiver 3. Closing it out with Dallas and Cincinnati. This game's easy. Start your Bengals. I mean, Chase Brown has all but one touch at running back for the Bengals since Zach Moss went down. I think Khalil Herbert has one carry. I mean, Chase Brown has maybe the best role in fantasy right now. Catching passes, getting goal line work in a good offense, not coming off the field, ripping off explosive runs. Dallas' run defense is not good. We know this. Great spot for Chase Brown. Ja'Marr Chase, amazing. I've got many things wrong this season, but I was very vocal about Ja'Marr Chase being the wide receiver one in fantasy all offseason. He is very clearly the wide receiver one right now. Not to be overlooked is T. Higgins, who, when he's been active, he's been awesome. Top 15 wide receiver each week when he's been active, pretty much. So you start him as well every week. And Joe Burrow is playing the quarterback position as well as anybody in the league. But the Bengals defense cannot help them out. For Dallas, we'll see about CeeDee Lamb. Didn't play a lot of that second half on Thanksgiving with a shoulder. Was having a dreadful game, and that only, you know, solidified that. But there's optimism he plays. So if he plays, you start him. You lower expectations like you have been, but he's going to get 8 to 12 targets. Jake Ferguson looks like he'll be back. I don't know if there'll be any limitations with him, but I don't think we have to risk finding out when you have Cooper Rush at quarterback. So we'll keep an eye on that. And then Rico Dowdle, he's probably a borderline must-start player right now. Given what we've seen the past 2 weeks, given what we saw in terms of usage, obviously, the third down usage is up a little bit, and then last week he looked great. It's going to get, especially this game can stay close, which I think it can, 18 to 22 touches. Bengals' run defense has been much improved lately, but it's hard to bench somebody that's playing well and getting that volume. So, and that will do it for week 14. I'm excited for this to kick off on Thursday with Green Bay at Detroit. I am very, very excited about that game. Hoping you are too, and hoping you make the playoffs and we can come back next week, preview the games, and get you closer and closer to that fantasy championship. Of course, keep it locked at FTNFantasy.com for all of your content. Fantasy football, season long, daily fantasy, betting, you name it, we have it. Basketball content. Doing the NBA podcast, once again, the Fast Break, with Zach Graham on Thursdays, if you want to check that out. You have two podcasts from me on Thursdays, which is always fun for me. Great time to be a sports fan. Great time to sign up at FTNFantasy.com. Best of luck in week 14. Hopefully you get off to a good start on Thursday. Have a good weekend. Talk to you guys next time. Peace out.